ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 46. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स. 45 गरिष्ठ चरणार्चनया निशाता ज्ञानासि मच्युत बलो दधत् अस्त शत्रुः स्वानंद तुष्ट उपशांत इदं विजह्या. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of God, its mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss. And then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam. एवं यो व्यक्ति तत्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सो अर्जुन. वन हू नोज द ट्रांसेंडेंटल नेचर ऑफ माय अपीयरेंस एंड एक्टिविटीज डज नॉट अपॉन लिविंग द बॉडी टेक हिज बर्थ अगेन इन दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड बट अटेन्स माय इटर्नल अबोड. ओ अर्जुन, दिस इज द हाईएस्ट परफेक्शन ऑफ लाइफ एंड द ह्यूमन बॉडी इज मेंट फॉर दिस पर्पस. इट इज सेड इन द श्रीमद् भागवतम, नृदेहमाद्यम सुलभम सुदुर्लभम प्लवम सुकल्पम गुरु कर्णधारम मायानुकूले नभस्वेतिरितम पुमान भवाब्धिम न तरेत आत्महा. दिस ह्यूमन फॉर्म ऑफ बॉडी इज अ मोस्ट वैल्यूएबल बोट एंड द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर इज द कैप्टन गुरु कर्णधारम टू गाइड द बोट इन प्लाइंग अक्रॉस द ओशन ऑफ नेशंस. The instruction of Krishna is favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nations. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. A significant word here is Achyutavala. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples. And consequently, by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. One must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna, and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nations. If one seriously desires to return back home, back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy. And one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of Jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and his paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma Bhuta. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kankshati, Samaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tatvataha. Tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept the material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tatvata tektva deham punarjanma naiti mameti su Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my spiritual eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tatvataha means meaning in reality is very important. Tato mam tatvato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Arhuya krichrena param padam tata patanti adho. Nadrat yasmad angrayaha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. Even if one attains the stage of Brahma padam, merging in Brahman, without bhakti he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instruction, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus, one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Significant in this verse are the words Jnanasim Achyuta Balaha. Jnanasim, the word of knowledge, is given, a sort of knowledge is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instruction, Balram gives one strength. Balram is Nityananda. Vrajendra Nandana Yai Sachisuta Hoile Sai. Balaram Hoilo Nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi chata chilo Hariname Uddharilo. The weapon is Sankirtan, Harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jaya. In the Mandak Upanishad, it is said, Nayam atma balahine na labhyo, nacha pramadat tapaso vap alingat, etir upayair etate yastu vidvams, tasaisti atma vishate brahma adhama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Shri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitayar Karuna Hobe Braje Radha Krishna Pabe. When one receives the mercy of Balaram Nityanand, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se Sambandha Nahijar Bruta Janma Gelotar Vidya Kulei Karibitar. If one has no connection with Nitai Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. These are the contamination the verse speaks, which we have to conquer. And Prabhupada writes very beautiful purport. In the conditional stage, one's conception of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger and sleep. All of these are enemies. Sometimes one's conception are also polluted by goodness. Every voice is bigger mountain than the previous one. So therefore, the instruction which are given by Narad Muni to Yudhishthir Maharaj, the instruction for the civilized human being, and Kali Yuga means no civilization. So therefore, what to speak of conquering them? Someone was saying that when you talk about humility, nowadays the parents say, don't teach my children humility. Teach them arrogance, because they have to make a place in the world. Teach them envy, teach them lust, then they will progress. So therefore, these instructions, conquering bad qualities, is considered as regress. So therefore, here Srila Prabhupada, you can see the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Rather than speaking elaborately, item by item, he is talking about taking the shelter of Guru, the Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Gaurnitaya. And in this way, one can conquer the enemies, because the enemies have to be conquered. Unless one is freed from all contamination, going back to the spiritual world is difficult. And even if one goes to the spiritual world accidentally, like Durvasa Muni went there into the spiritual world, but he couldn't enjoy because he was covered by the principle of fear. And that is one thing we also have to conquer. He was saving himself from the Sudarshan Chakra, and that Sudarshan Chakra led him to the spiritual world. He didn't realize. Just by coming in contact with the spiritual world, weapon of the Lord, you went to the spiritual world, but the principle of fear was there, he left from that place also. He was tricked by the fear not to stay there. Like we also read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that fisherman, he touched Mahaprabhu's body. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, all Asta Sattvic Vikaras were exhibited. So it is like a powerful electrical wire. If you touch the electrical wire in the local train, you become a black mountain. Cannot be recognized. So similarly, Mahaprabhu was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. And this fisherman, to catch fish in the ocean in the night, would chant Narsingha Mantra. Poor fishes. He was taking shelter of Lord Narsingha to protect himself to catch the fish. So when he touched Mahaprabhu's body, Mahaprabhu's body came in the net. And Narsingha Mantra added, he felt he was haunted by a ghost. And by chanting Narsingha Mantra, the haunting has increased. So when he met Swarup Damodar Goswami, he asked, did you see Mahaprabhu? Means everybody knew, the fishermen also knew Mahaprabhu. They may not have practiced the regulative principles of no meat eating, no gambling, but they knew Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, no, this is not Lord Chaitanya. I know Lord Chaitanya very much. It's a ghost. And I've touched it, my life is ruined. How will I take care of my family? He did not realize that he was experiencing ecstatic symptoms. Unless you know that you are experiencing ecstatic symptoms, if you experience, our position is like a fisherman only. So somebody has to slap. So Swarup Damodar, he said, I am an exorcist. I will remove the haunting of the ghost. And he gave him a good slap. And he said, this is not ghost. You are so fortunate that you are experiencing ecstatic symptoms. Just see, at all level, when we begin our devotional service, we need Guru. And when we experience pleasure in Krishna consciousness to tell us you are experiencing pleasure, we also need a Guru. We need a spiritual master. Because In Kali Yuga, the effect of Krishna consciousness works very fast. But unfortunately, we don't realize it. We don't realize. So therefore, Guru's mercy is required. So here, Srila Prabhupada talks about these voices, these bad qualities, this contamination. And Kali Yuga is filled with this contamination. Extremely difficult trying to overcome each qualities and try to develop purity of the heart, purity of purpose. One's own surrounding may be very pure, but one's extended surrounding is very contaminated. Just like if you have to walk on a floor which is filled with oil or soap water. However alert you are, how long can you naturally walk? It is extremely difficult. One will slip eventually. One will fall. Conscious of not falling, you will fall. Why? Because it is a floor made of soap water or oil. So similarly, Kali Yuga's surrounding is filled with unfriendliness. It is extremely unfriendly. It makes one to stay in this material world. Rather, one takes pleasure in staying in this material world. Rather, there is no concept of going back to the spiritual world. So therefore, when the living entity is so stubborn not to go back to Krishna, there has to be a powerful method. The powerful method is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore we see, when Balramji, since we are talking about Balram, in the Mahabharata battle, he did not take side. He told Krishna, "My dear Keshav, be fair to both the party. Because they are also our relatives, Pandavas also our relatives." He said, "If you want to help, you help properly. Follow your own instruction. I'm equal to everybody." But Balramji knew in the heart of the heart, this is not possible. That Krishna has already decided to take side of the Pandavas. He said, "What is the use of me staying here? So better I go to Tirtha." And there are description of Tirthas. It looks like every village in India is a Tirtha. Every place is a holy place. Because no place was made a place for inhabitation without a small kund, which would have some history, some sages coming, purifying it, and some temple of Lord Vishnu. That means wherever you stay, in any part of the land of Bharat Varsha, it was guaranteed that from there you could go back to the spiritual world. You don't have to rush, running to Mayapur, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri every other month and giving up your devotional service, your actual services. Because the Aryan civilization was so arranged that how many people would get to go all the time? Now people have plane, train, buses, their own cars, big number of devotees, nice hotels in the holy place. So to go to visit holy place, it's a luxury. It's a retreat. It's a resort. And now in Vrindavan there is a golf court also. In Govardhan. So you can visit, we can go parikrama, do, and then if you have the conditioning of playing golf, you can do that also. Very risky and dangerous. So therefore, one has to practice devotional service not based upon our material surrounding. One should practice devotional service based upon the facilities and the organization created by the spiritual master and the predecessor acharyas. And that's what Prabhupada is stressing here. The parampara system is so powerful. It gives the complete assurance of purity of knowledge. I was discussing with one devotee yesterday that we see that in India there are many great saints. They have great devotion to the Supreme Lord also. But if their surrounding is not connected to parampara, the knowledge is contaminated. They may not be contaminated, but the knowledge which is passed on as the time passes, then the contamination comes. But knowledge which is protected by parampara, you get the life story of the great devotees and you get their philosophy also very pure. There is no contamination. So therefore Prabhupada is talking about, one has to take shelter of Balaram, because Balaram gives the strength. Knowledge is there, but one has to have the ability to understand. Very interesting here, in the previous verse, Narad Muni is speaking conceptions. Once our understanding changes, it is like making a mistake in the sutra only. Then all your calculation is missed. So when the conception is wrong, the foundational principle is wrong, you cannot proceed further. And the conception can be wrong even in the mode of goodness. What to speak of mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And therefore, the bombardment of this concept, the wrong concept is so strong. The wrong understanding of Shastra is so strong. People quote scriptures, exact verses, but what is it? It is not the verses give us knowledge, but the contaminated concept, which contaminates the real knowledge. Therefore, there has to be acharyas. In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Yamadutas, they had this very special encounter. They were encounter specialists. They would go around, capture the living entities, catch them at the right time. From others' point of view, catching them at the wrong time. Someone said, death is the greatest evil in the world. Why? Because death comes at the wrong time. That is the material concept. When I'm planning something, you know, making some big plan, and suddenly death comes at your doorsteps and takes you away. Oh, he came at the wrong time. No. That is our concept. Death coming at the wrong time. But death never comes at the wrong time. They are properly trained to go at the right time and capture. So according to their calculation, Yamadutas, they went to Ajamil to capture him. But for their great surprise, they saw someone whom they were very attracted to. In the Yamaloka, the principle of beauty does not exist. Why? Because it's a gruesome place. And punishment is given. 28 departments are existing. And it's like going to the police cell. And when you go to the police department, unless he's your relative. Otherwise, it's all very fearful. Beating is taking place. You know, they're asking questions and they have to answer. So this 28 cells, Yamadutas, are constantly working. Not to reform, but to prepare them for the next punishment. So there is no question of seeing beautiful people. So even Yamaraj, his heart is beautiful, but his face is not so beautiful. So when the Yamadutas saw this beautiful faced Vishnu Dutas, not only they were beautiful, but they were very powerful also. They stopped Yamadutas taking Ajamil to the other world, the Yamaloka, and they chased them away. And Yamadutas are very, very disappointed. They came to Yamaraj and they speak such a brilliant philosophy. They ask one question. If there are too many leaders, too many bosses, there will be conflicting opinions. One will say reward him and one will say punish him. This happens in Kali Yuga. Like just see how, if you see from Yamadutas' point of view, the whole principle of judgment and code is so ridiculous and stupid. Like in the lower court, a judge writes pages after pages. Now, how much pages they have to write? You know, overcoming all the arguments, the false arguments of lawyers, you know, opposing lawyers, and then they have to write a judgment. And judgment is almost like a grantha only. And when he passes the judgment, one who is accused or convicted, he goes to another judge. That he has given the judgment, I don't agree, and I want you to give a judgment which is exactly opposite of what he has given. What is it? That means the same government has appointed two judges, and the government gives the facility that this judgment can be totally removed, deleted, and some other judgment can be passed. That's a very question they ask. The Yamaduta asked this question, my dear Lord, if there are too many bosses, one boss will punish and another boss will say no, reward for the same activity. And how people will understand? That means one cannot be rewarding, one cannot be giving punishment. It doesn't make any sense. So how is that you are the boss, but somebody else is giving another judgment? Your judgment was punishment, but their judgment is reward. He said, we are totally bewildered. Tell us, what is it? But Yamaraj was not bewildered. He was very happy. He said, it was your good fortune that you met these Vishnudutas. And what does he speak? He speaks about beyond good and bad. He speaks about the principle of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sixth cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about the principle of Poshanam. There are 10 principles in the Bhagavatam. The principle of Poshanam means the Supreme Personality of Godhead nourishes the living entity. Not only devotees. Krishna is known for nourishing everybody. Therefore, the whole principle of Kali Yuga, the mercy factor is so powerful that most of the time we come in contact with devotees accidentally. Very rare souls, very extremely rare souls, they have the desperation for looking for God. Where do we meet devotees? In a place where we would never imagine to meet. So many stories of Western devotees meeting, you know, became devotees. And where did they meet the devotees? In the most undesirable place for a civilized human being. In a brothel, in a liquor bar, in a gambling den, you know, in the sports event. And most conditioned souls in the Western world meet devotees in a place in the concert, where the musical concerts are taking place. And the book distributors say that is the best place to distribute books. Why? Because the intoxication is there, height of intoxication. Illicit sex is going on, drinking is going on, and wild, nasty, uncultured music is going on. So therefore, there is no concept. They are all dull. They have no sense of imagination and perception. And the devotees bump them, and these people buy books also, without realizing what they are buying. That is how in Kali Yuga you meet devotee. Just imagine to meet a devotee, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Pranipatena, Pariprashnana Sevaya, Upadek Shantide Jnanam, Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. That means you have to approach a bona fide spiritual master. Means you have to take a step to go to the bona fide spiritual master. If you actually analyze how many of you took a test to go to a bona fide spiritual master, you have to go to a bona fide spiritual master. That means you have to know who is a bona fide spiritual master. In India, spiritual master, the spiritual leaders, there are two professions. You don't need a degree. You don't need any education. Absolutely no education you require. The first is a politician. You don't need any degree, any qualities, as nasty as possible, then you become best of the minister. And especially in the country of India. That is the one thing. And second, you don't need any degree, any education, any culture, any qualification. That nothing works except a saffron dress and you become a guru. Hundreds of disciples you get. So where is the question? Even if you have the desire to approach a bona fide spiritual master, most of the time you bump into people who are not bona fide. And then asking questions. People don't go for asking questions. People go for asking material benefits. Can you award this to me? Can you offer this to me? What does people talk when they meet Guru? They talk about he produce ash. You go to our Wada farm, we are burning a lot of wood there. You get ash there also. But they talk about that. And talk about producing laddus. Oh, my Guru produced laddu. In Tirupati Balaji, they distribute laddus. Most of the temples they distribute. But that's what people talk. So there is no question of asking question to a teacher. And if any discussion has to go, the guru has to sit and listen. And the aspiring disciple will speak. So you can understand how opposing elements are there that one is not able to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore the devotee is going to meet most unlikely candidate in regards to meeting a devotee. They don't ask questions, but they get this whole bunch of knowledge in the form of books. Therefore, again, this is another special strategy applied by Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If you see from a traditional point of view, Shastra distribution is not mentioned in the scripture. Shastra means would stay with the teacher. He has to be Brahmana only. One book may be in one town. That's all. One scripture in one guru's house, and all the people will come there and he will recite. You can't even recite the mantras, what to speak of reading. It was not allowed like that. And then Shastra has to be in Sanskrit language only. You cannot write Shastra in English. What to speak of English when some of the acharyas, seeing that people are no more studying Sanskrit, they are giving importance to the local language, the Prakrita Bhasha, then some of the acharyas told their disciples, now you start compiling the glorification in Prakrita Bhasha, in regular language. Like we read Narottam Das Thakur's poems, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poems, Lochan Das Thakur's poems. Before that, everything was compiled in Sanskrit. So when they were told to compile in the local language, the traditional smarthas, the orthodox people, they created hue and cry. How can you do this? This is not pure Sanskrit language. How can you write about God in Prakrita language? They would remove their books from the regular Sanskrit textbooks. They would not allow them to keep those glorification of Lord Vishnu which was written in the Prakrit language. And what to speak of Mlecha language? We are speaking in English and French and German. And what Prabhupada said about this language, we don't want to say. But there are textbooks, there are scriptures written in this language. And not only written in this language, not Shastra in one Brahmana's house, but Shastra even in the house of the butchers. Like in Russia, one devotee was distributing books. And accidentally, he went into a butcher's lane. And butcher lanes mean what? Not only animals are being slaughtered, the animals are being hung. Now blood is flowing from there. Recently, one of our devotees had gone to Bangkok. And he's still having nightmares after coming from there. You don't see any fruits. You don't see any vegetarian. You only see meat and all kinds of meat. They are samadarshi in regards to this. There is no discrimination what to eat and what not to eat. You know, in Islamic religion, in Christianity, in Hindus, there is a discrimination. I can't eat this one. This is bad. But there, and that is the land of Buddha. Buddhist dharma is followed. But there is no discrimination about what people eat. All kinds of animals are being slaughtered. So you can imagine going to a slaughterhouse. In India, you rarely see. You know, you don't very easily see slaughterhouses. In a very bad colony, you will see. But there, he said, every shop, other shop was a meat shop, a slaughterhouse. So you can imagine a devotee going and trying to distribute book. He was just avoiding them and somebody called, a butcher called him. And his hand was covered with a gloves, which was covered with fresh blood, flowing blood from his hand. You know, the butchering knife was also there. You don't want to contaminate your book. You would never want to do it. But the butcher said, I want to see. And which book he had? Laws of Karma. Huh? Laws of Karma. You know, butcher is slaughtering an animal and he's turning into an animal. So it's a very, very interesting book. He said, you want to see? I'll show from a distance. A devotee still had that feeling that, oh, it's a pure book, I should not. But eventually he gave him that book. And he's holding that book. Every page is marked with the blood of some, you know, poor animal. And he read few sentences. He said, I want to buy this book. He purchased the book. He purchased 2-3 more books. Now, where in the scripture, which Shastra, which tradition, either it is Smarthas or Vaishnavas or Shaktas, would ever allow any practitioner, however however great devotee of that sect to touch a textbook with a contaminated hand filled with blood. When you touch a textbook, when you take Shastra, you have to perform Achman. In India, at least when we were growing, even your textbook, reading mundane book, science book, which talks about Darwin theory, the parents would not allow you to touch the book with a contaminated hand. Want to speak of Shastra? You can't eat and touch your textbook. It was not allowed. That you have to wash your hand. And they would call it Saraswati, even though it is full of Maya. There is no Saraswati in that, but still, the parents had that concept. No, you are touching knowledge, it is Vidya, it should be carefully handling. So that is the tradition of India. Even anything is a book, it has to be good. But here it is Shastra, it is Dharma Shastra. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, coming from all that parampara. And who is touching it? The butcher is touching it. And is he contaminating the scripture? No, he is not contaminating the scripture. But his hands are becoming clean. Not physically, but literally. His hands are becoming clean. Rather than holding a butcher's knife, now he is able to hold, chanting mala. And chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So therefore, rather than seeing hopelessness as Kali Yuga progresses, it all depends upon our view. How do we view? There is unlimited hopelessness if you want to see hopelessness. But if you want to see hope, there is limitless hope also. What we want to see? Hopelessness is sign of atheism. And theism means seeing hope. And that is how Vedic culture, the great revolutionary acharyas present according to the time, place, circumstance. They do not make process complicated and difficult one. Rather, they make process most magnanimous and most liberal one. A very liberal one. Therefore, we see in the Vedic literature, the Shaligram Shila is there. Available, plentiful. Anybody can worship. The deities are there. In this very chapter we studied, when there was discrepancy, when there was mutual conflict amongst the people, deity worship was introduced. Why deity worship was not there? Because the ability to see Krishna in others' heart was very easy, was very natural. You could see Krishna, you could see Lord Vishnu in everybody's heart. There's no question of seeing conflict of opinion. Kali Yuga means conflict of opinion. Therefore, this conflict of opinion was exhibited more than anybody else was Krishna and Balaram. In Ram Lila, we were discussing yesterday, in Ram Lila, Lakshman would not blink his eyes unless he would get permission from Ram. Such a harmony in following the instruction of Lord Ramachandra, that Lakshman did not have an opinion. When Lord Ram, it's a very sweet pastime that Lord Ram told Lakshman, construct a Parana Kutir for me and Sita and for you. And Lakshman says, for me? He said, whatever yours is mine. There is no separate existence for me. So Lakshman could never think differently from Lord Ramachandra. There is no question of thinking. The thought also never came in his mind. 100% harmony in regards to following the instruction of his older brother. And Balramji comes along with Krishna. Krishna and Balram came almost at the end of Dwapara. Kali Yuga was prevalent when the battle of Kurukshetra was taking place. The Kauravas very much affected by Kali Yuga, and the Pandavas were using Kali Yuga for establishing Dharma. They were using the principle of Kali Yuga, lying. When the Kauravas did it, they were affected by Kali Yuga. When the Pandavas did it, they were doubting it in Krishna's service. So when battle was going on between Bhima and Duryodhan, there comes Balramji. he had to come that time only, unfortunately. He comes after finishing all the Tirthas, and Balram, Bhima and Duryodhan are about to start their fight, and the rules are already declared, especially the mess fighting, like they have rules for the boxing also, that you cannot strike below the belt. That is the rule when you are fighting. Just see, the real Kshatriya, they said, okay, hit here, hit on the face, not below the belt. So the battle started, and in the battle, Duryodhan was very skillful. He was very powerful also, because he had that benediction given by Mother Gandhari, made his body almost steel framed. Any part of his body you could not break unless you hit below the belt. And Bhima was strong, but he was not as skilled as Duryodhan. And Balramji made him skillful. I think it Harivamsa explains, we are talking about conflict between Krishna and Balram, but this conflict between Krishna and Balram simply enhances the pastime. It is not like some people say, you know, Balramji's avatara tattva. No, he was also an expansion of Lord Vishnu. That avatara tattva was getting over, therefore he was getting affected. And therefore he was opposing Krishna. But the Gaudiya see it differently. They see harmony in conflict also, unity in conflict also. So Balramji, when he saw Krishna, when Duryodhan and Bhima started fighting, and Krishna signaled, without Balramji seeing Krishna, it is not possible, but it was possible. Krishna can make Balram not see it. And he gave indication to Arjun. What was the indication? Thighs. This is the place. This is the only place where the secret of Bhima's victory lies. No other part. And he has to strike. And that is against the rule. And Balram just forced himself to become an umpire or a referee. He's standing there. Anything goes wrong, he's there ready to strike Bhima. And when did Balramji teach Duryodhan? When the Shamantaka jewel incident took place. Another conflict between Krishna and Balram. Krishna was accused of stealing Shamantaka jewel, and Balramji was upset, and he left to Mithila. He left Dwarka. And he went there, and Duryodhan came to know, oh, here is the conflict. He thought it's a conflict. And he came there. He learned the art of mace fighting for a long time. And then Balramji came back. So here Balramji is watching his best disciple perform the best show. And the fight is going on. Krishna gave indication, Arjuna gave that sign to Bhima. And when Duryodhan was in the air, avoiding the fight of Bhima, Bhima struck him right on the thigh, very badly. And when he struck him on the thigh, Duryodhan collapsed. When Duryodhan collapsed, it was expected from Bhima. Bhima placed his lotus feet. So fortunate Duryodhan was. He placed his lotus feet on the crown of Duryodhan. And Balramji became very angry. And he said, you know, hell with Bhima, hell with Bhima, dhikkar hai. Now how can you do this? It is unfair. And he lifted his mace. He wanted to strike Bhima, and Krishna came. And Mahabharata explains, when they came close to each other, ek Kailash Parvat ke saman aur dusra Kajal Parvat ke saman. Black Kajal and white Kailash Parvat coming together. There also, as in conflict also, he sees harmony of beauty. That is our Vedic literature. There is a conflict, but if you have the eyes to see the harmony, Krishna and Balram, they came together like a black mountain of Kajal. Kajal is very soothing also. Kajal is not bad. Kajal is not inauspicious. Kajal is auspicious. And then Balramji is like a white mountain. When they come together close, Vyasdev does not leave the opportunity to glorify the beauty of Krishna and Balaram. They are like a rare jewel coming together. And Balramji said, this is not fair. How can you do this? This is against the rule of game. And Krishna said, after all, it is Kali Yuga, my dear brother. It's Kali Yuga, what you can expect? And after all, it was a vow taken by Bhima. Don't become so angry. Krishna is pacifying. Don't become angry. And also, Maitreya Rishi had given curse. And you see what Balaramji, Krishna says. He says, one has to see from the prophet point of view. He said, it is better to take the side of the Pandavas because it is profitable. Why? The Pandavas are our relatives. The profit of the relative is the profit of ours. And the profit of the relative's friend is our profit. So three way it is profitable to us. And the loss of an enemy is our gain. Loss of enemy's friend is our gain. Loss of enemy's friend's friend is our gain. So Krishna speaks so systematically to Balaram, and Balaramji is bewildered. But he sticks to his gun. He said, no, this is not fair. He said, I am not going to tolerate this. And he walks opposite direction. He goes to Dwarka. So Krishna is happy. He's not going to strike Bhima. And the Pandavas are a little shaken that Balaramji is upset. And he says, you know, Bhima will be going in the history as a bad fighter. Krishna pacifies them. He said, don't worry. So here we see that Balaramji apparently opposing Krishna. In Vrindavan only it starts. Krishna's party and Balaram's party. We see that. But in Vrindavan, it does not create a big politics. It only creates it creates friendly game. That Pralambasura was in Krishna's party, Balaramji was in other party. But in Krishna Lila, everywhere we see Balaramji apparently opposing Krishna. But that opposing of Krishna, it does not stop the flow of the pastime. Rather, the pastime increases its speed. And we see that also in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Lord Nityananda did not had the mood of Lakshman. Lakshman mood is another way of looking. It has to have Dwapar or it has to have Treta Yuga or Satya Yuga only. Everything what Ram says, even if it is wrong, it has to be right. That was the mood of Lakshman. Anything against Ram, even if it is Dasharatha Maharaj is done, he said, I'll kill him. Actually, Lakshman says, I'll kill my father for going against my brother. Now, he only talks about killing anybody who is against Ram. He does not see harmony. Bharat is coming, his flag is there. Why is he coming? He does not see. He is coming means he has come to kill Ram, so I have to finish him off. Ram said, no, wait. No. He is also your brother only. He also likes me. So, Lakshman's love is so deep. No, Ram cannot do any mistake. And never objected. But Balaramji speaks bluntly to Krishna that this is wrong, Krishna. This is not the way you should act. Balaramji wanted Subhadra to marry Duryodhan, just see. Huh? What kind of a choice? A bad marriage word. And then Krishna wanted Subhadra to marry Arjun. But then you cannot argue with your older brother. So what Krishna did? He told you come as a sannyasi. But sannyasi, what will that do? He said you come as a sannyasi. Arjuna comes as a sannyasi. And who welcomes him? Balaramji welcomes. And not only Balaramji welcomes Arjuna as a sannyasi, he brings him to the most private quarters. And it is not in the history. He allows a young sister to take care of a young sannyasi. You can imagine what will happen. And Krishna warns Balaram. He said, Balaram, look, this is not right. He's a young sannyasi. Our sister is very young. There could be some mishap. He said, no, he's a very good sannyasi. Actually, Mahabharata says that Balaramji had such a trust. He developed immediate trust. He allowed young sister to take care of a sannyasi. Never tradition. You can imagine 5,000 years ago. Women would not even see a sannyasi. What to speak of serving? It's a strange story. And made by Balaramji himself, who is the original guru. And what does Arjuna do? He simply fulfills the prediction of Krishna. The mishap will take place. He kidnaps Subhadra and Balaramji becomes very angry. So his anger shows another quality of Krishna. So opposing, when Balaramji opposes Krishna or opposes the great devotees, the Pandavas, it enhances the pastime. The unity is developed. Same thing Lord Nityananda also did. Lord Chaitanya told him not to come. Very clear statement. You don't need any purport for this. Very clear statement. Do not come next year to Jagannath Puri. And what happened? Sure enough, Nityananda Prabhu came. Disobeying the orders of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Kaviraj Goswami said, he pleased Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we cannot try this. When Guru says, don't do it, if you do it, then it is not like that. Only Nityananda Prabhu can do, Lord Balaram can do it. To pray their combination. Therefore, this opposing element, the example, when you add salt in a lemon juice, when there is salt in the lemon juice, I remember Americans don't like this, adding salt, especially black salt. I made a juice for one sannyasi, and as a typical style, added salt, and he was sick. When I gave that juice to him, he was so angry. I said, why did you put salt? He said, Maharaj, everybody puts in India. It enhances the taste. If you don't drink, I will drink it. I'll make a separate juice for you. Huh? Because juice is tasty with salt. But he said, he didn't accept it. He said, I had to make juice, which was only sugar, and I tried. It didn't taste good. So therefore, salt is opposite of sugar, but there is a right amount of opposition in that lemon juice. What does it do? It enhances the taste. So similarly, rather than seeing Balaramji going against Krishna, he is coming like a salt, opposing Krishna. And when he opposes Krishna, it enhances the taste. Like sometimes you make halwa made of Amul butter. Amul butter is salty. But when you add that Amul butter in the halwa, it's a very, very special flavor, special taste. So therefore, here Srila Prabhupada ji is asking all of us of taking shelter of Balaram. The Balaram Tattva, the Guru Parampara. When we take the shelter of Balaram Tattva, Lord Nityanand, then the knowledge becomes digestible. Then we get the strength to hold a salt. You may have a big talwar in your hand, but if you don't know how to lift, talwar requires, you have to move talwar. You can't stand like a statue. Just imagine you have the talwar of Rana Pratap or Shivaji Maharaj, which is a mystical talwar. You can kill thousands of the evil people. But their talwar is so heavy that you can't lift only. So what is the point of having that salt? So what does Balaramji do? Balaramji develops the strength so that he can carry that sword. So knowledge is like sword. If you don't have the ability to handle that sword, that very sword will cut you. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Jnana without bhakti causes indigestion. One student came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, I want to know more, more, more. Prabhupada said, no, take this much. First learn the art of digestion. It's like taking rabdi. The Mathura Brahmins in Mathura, they can drink 5 liters of rabdi and nothing will happen to them. And here we take 1 glass of pure cow's milk, you get indigestion. You need some urea in that. You need a Bombay milk only to digest, because it is not milk. It is basically water only. So you can easily digest. But if you go to our Wada farm and you drink pure cow's milk, what happens? You get indigestion. You get kharab doodh. Yeah, I've seen children when we take them to farm, when they drink pure cow's milk, he said, Prabhuji, bahut strong smell aata hai. So pure milk is bad and bad milk is good. What to speak of rabdi made from that milk, how can you digest? Not possible to digest. So Kali is a very strange yuga. So therefore, gyan is their pure knowledge, but if that gyan does not aid with strength, then that gyan can cause greatest harm. So what does Lord Nityananda, what Lord Balaram do? They give us the strength. They give us the power. They give us the power to digest that knowledge. And what is that power? The power of devotional service. Therefore, the spiritual master, according to the capacity, according to the level of a disciple, the engaged disciple, according to their propensity in Krishna's service, and develop the strength so that their understanding is deepened. And in this way, they achieve the highest perfection in Krishna consciousness. And what is that highest perfection? The highest perfection is the desire to quit the material body. The desire to give up this material body and go back to the spiritual world. When we say, yes, enough of this material world, I am eagerly awaiting to go back to the spiritual world. When that consciousness is developed, we overcome the fear of death and want to go back to the spiritual world. That is the highest perfection. And that is possible by accepting the principles of Krishna consciousness, serving the spiritual master, serving the previous acharyas, and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Can you give an example of having strength to use the knowledge, this point which is made, that knowledge is there, but if there is no strength, so can you give some example also for that?
Yeah, strength of understanding. That shastras are bewildering if you don't have the tradition of understanding the shastra. Now, very simple example. Now we are devotees, whatever is given we accept. Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjun. For what? Asking him to fight. You know, create the violence. And in the 12th chapter he talks about qualities of a devotee. And what are the qualities of devotee? The qualities of devotees are Advaishta Sarva Bhutana Maitra Karunevacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samaduka Sukakshami Santushta Satatam Yogi. Now the qualities of a devotee is that he has no enemies. Samaduka Sukakshami. He is not joyful when he achieves something great and is not lamenting for when he loses something. He has no enemies. He does not create violence. He does not cause any provocation to anybody. What to speak of causing violence? He would not speak a language which is painful. In the 17th chapter of the Division of Faith, we read, the austerity of speech is not speaking harshly to anyone. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, you know, one of your devotee wants to write a book. He said, What is the book? He said, the book is about exposing all the gurus in India. He said, you don't need to do that. Prabhupada said, do not write any bad about anybody. And he quoted a Sanskrit verse for this. He said, don't need to fight. He said, you'll simply add enemies to your life. And devotee does not want to increase enemies. So, same Bhagavad Gita is speaking about not making enemy, always being friends, having equanimity, not causing provocation to anybody, even from a verbal point of view, what to speak of physical point. And after all that speaking, Krishna said, kill Bhishma Dev, kill Dronacharya, kill Duryodhana. That is the first conflict. How will you understand? And Krishna performing his pastimes, conflicting statements in the Shastra. That one Shastra says one thing, another Shastra says another thing. The Mahabharata says Pandavas went to heavens, and the Bhagavatam says Pandavas went to the spiritual world. And the same Bhagavat speaks in one place one thing, another place another thing. So can you harmonize? Reading of the Shastra causes more bewilderment. Why? Because the bewilderment is here. The bewilderment is there in the surrounding. One gentleman, he asked Prabhupada, he said, there seems to be conflict and contradiction in the understanding of the Acharya. Prabhupada said, there are no contradiction in the Acharya statement. That was the answer he gave. So therefore, by the grace of Guru and predecessor acharyas, the conflict is removed and the harmony is established. Simple example, Krishna used all kinds of tricks to establish Pandavas. Lying was there, bribing was there, breaking the confidence was there. If you see Krishna as an ordinary person in Mahabharata, any political party would want to have him as their best advisor. Yeah, he gives such an advice, how to break people's confidence. He sends Kunti, go to Karna and tell him now, cry, as a mother, break his confidence. In this way he becomes weak to fight against the Pandavas. He had already gone. And he told, look, Karna, you are the brother of Pandavas. And Karna said, why did you come now? He said, you are making me lose confidence. That's what Krishna wanted to do. He said, yes, my endeavor is successful. And he sends mother Kunti also. Makes him more weak. Is it not mean? And when Karna decided not to fight because Bhishma insulted him, Bhishma said, he's Ardharati, not even full warrior. He can't even fight one warrior. What to speak of fighting thousands of warriors? In public, you can imagine public, somebody is the best book distributor. He's called as a marathon champion. And you insult him. He's good for nothing. He can't even distribute pamphlets. What to speak of books? Free pamphlets he cannot distribute. If you are told in public, it's natural that you'll walk away. This guy is insulting me. He's not. So Bhishma boldly insulted Karna in front of everybody. And Karna was so angry. And what did he say? He said, I'm not going to fight till Bhishma leaves. That was the inauspicious beginning for the Kurus. That from the same party, he is wishing and saying that when my commander-in-chief falls, then I will come to fight. Inauspiciousness. And Krishna comes to Karna. He says, it's okay, don't worry. So as long as Bhishma lives, why don't you fight for the Pandava? Then you go back to Kuru. Just see, who can think like that? And then again on the battlefield, when the actual battle begins, about to start, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. The acharyas say this was not Yudhishthir's. Of course, he had the culture. He walks in there, goes and takes their blessings. When you do that, you go to your opposing party, take their blessings. And the blessings are very loudly, you could hear it. What were the blessings? They said, Arthasya Dasa, we are the servants of money. We are not servant of dharma. Therefore, you are fighting on this side. But we bless you that you will be victorious. Your party man is giving blessings to opposing party and guaranteeing the defeat. So what will be the confidence, the morality of the moral strength of the soldiers? So Krishna made that also. And then he made Yudhishthira Maharaj declare, now you announce that anyone who wants to come on this side and fight for us is welcome. Actually, Yuyutsava had decided before only. But Krishna had said, don't come now. I'll call you at the right time. If it already come, then there is a chance to build your confidence. It's okay, we can handle now. This has happened, we can do this strategy. What does Krishna do? He tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, when the battle is about to begin, you announce. When the army sees that their members are going to opposing party, again the confidence is lost. You can imagine Yuyutsava is coming right in front of everybody, all the 18 Akshayani Sainya. Their confidence is increased, Pandava's confidence, the Kuru's confidence is lost. And then he says, okay, bring a woman in front of Bhishma. Then he says, okay, Dronacharya, tell a lie. Now when you see all this, and therefore there are more books about the wrong understanding of Mahabharata, condemning Krishna, condemning the Pandavas because of this confusing story. Why? Because they didn't write based on the instructions, the commentaries of the acharyas. They wrote because, oh, this is unfair. How can Krishna do like this? What a cheap politician he is. But take from material point of view only. Forget he being a supreme personality of Godhead. All that Krishna did for what? he just placed Yudhishthira Maharaj the king and walks away from Hastinapur back to Dwarka and does not remotely control. Somebody else is the prime minister and somebody else is controlling. Krishna did not do that, walked away from there. He walked away without even looking for the facilities. Yudhishthira, I'm going to control you, okay? I'll send you an email. I got a cell phone. No. He walked away there. So take from a material point of view, who in the world, when people don't have the ability to actually take a position of anything, they want position. They don't have a power, they don't have the ability, still they want the position. What to speak of someone has the power, has the ability to control and is not controlling. Complete detachment. He walks away. Where in Krishna Lila, why can't people see that? Even from a mundane point of view, Jarasandha is killed, Sahadev was established. He did not break his dynasty. He said, you sit here. He did not kill Rukmi. He made him also the king. You know, he killed Shishupal, his son was established. So Krishna killed fathers, but he established the son as the king and he walked away. Nowhere he became king. Neither in Dwarka also, Ugrasen was the king. And he would stand and ask, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? So then all that meanness was for what? To establish dharma. This much is sufficient. We don't have to even go beyond that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He can do anything and everything. No. Any politician, can he do it? Any politician, can he do it? You know, they want to control remotely and they take greater pleasure in that. Because they are the boss. But Krishna did not do it. So how can this understanding come? This understanding only comes by hearing from the acharyas. Otherwise, conflict after conflict. Just saying, going to Karana and saying, you know, see, remove. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Do not go establishing Pandavas as this the king. Just that act. This is a regular act in the political world. In the politics. You know, going to other party. Why don't you join here? Five, how much you want? Come here. And then he comes and he gives so many big excuses. You know, this is happening, that's happening. I'm against this. I want people to know this. I'm for the people. And meanwhile, he has taken big money. Shifting and is glorified. Oh, ultimately he understood the philosophy. This philosophy is wrong and this philosophy is right. And Krishna, and Vasudeva puts this in the Shastra. It is not that these people have found out this story. All the stories what they find controversy, all these big so-called authors, what is their source of knowledge? Their source of knowledge is not that they got a scandalous story which is not written by Vasudev. They found in some other place, did their research. Oh, we caught here Krishna. No, this is all narrated by Vasudev only. He is only narrating it. So Vasudev is narrating and he has no apology in this. Oh, unfortunately, I have to say this. You know, Krishna did this to Karna. He went there. He said, why he did it? And we are glad Krishna did it. The demon was killed in the hands of Arjuna. And then he gave perfection to him also. Everybody gets. And Chanakya Pandit also did the same thing. No, he established Chandragupta by all kinds of ill means. Used all kinds of means to establish Chandragupta Maurya as the king. Why? If you read the history, it shows that the atheistic philosophy is becoming prevalent in the kingdom of Nandas. And he had to establish the Vedic system. He established him. And Samudra, Rakshas, he was the minister of the Nandas. And there was a tiff between Chanakya and Nanda, this Samudra Raj. And there was a fight. And eventually, Chanakya brings him back. And he says, come on, he says, you are not minister for some people, you are minister for the country. You are a qualified guy. He said, I have played all this trick against you, not because I am against you. I want you to be the minister. He established him as the minister and Samudra Rakshas was dumbfounded. What? I thought he's angry with me, he wants to destroy me. He made him minister. He said, I'm going back to Pataliputra to start my Gurukul. And he goes back. So this is a detachment. Usually Chanakya Pandit is shown as, you know, stupid Brahmana, aggressive, you know, got some insult by this Nanda, therefore he removed his Shikha and he said, till I kill them, I'll not tie my Shikha. Like, what is this? No, it's very insignificant. Reason. The real reason was dharma should be established. And to establish dharma, the first qualification, the leader one who wants to establish dharma, he cannot take any position. That's the main thing. Krishna did not take any position, no position. He gave up the position of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. Because nobody knew. In Vrindavan, out of love, they did not know. And in Duryodhan's place, they did not know because arrogance. Very few people knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Nobody knew. He gave it up. He didn't allow anybody to know. Very few people could know once in a while here and there. And never became the king. So one, when people say sometime, unless there is a position, no, you can't do anything. Read the history of Krishna. No position, established dharma and he walked away from there. Greatest detachment. So how can people not understand it? And how this understanding comes? Comes from Guru and the predecessor Acharyas. Otherwise, if you read any Shastra, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Bhagavat, whatever it is, you'll find faults. With Ram also. One who has no faults. Never exhibited any fault. Absolute clean character. But still they say, "Are he banned Sita. Are he did this to Sita. He did that to Wali. He did this to Ravan." Nowadays they say, he did this to Ravan also. You can say Sita. You can say, you know, the explanation can be given. If they say, you know, this, he did this to Ravan, now what can you say? There is a temple in Kolar district in Karnataka. There is a deity of Ravan being worshipped regularly. Only Ravan. And there is one temple, they are fair. They have a deity of Ram and Ravan worship together. Why? Because Hara Hara Bhakta. Lord Ram is Vishnu and Lord Ravan is the greatest devotee of Lord Shiva. So we are worshipping them together. That harmony is very dangerous. We can bring Krishna and Ram together. But bringing Ravan and Ram together, that's very dangerous. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.